Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
She's a fashion blogger, model, and entrepreneur.
She's amazing.
The latest tips on fashion, beauty, wellness, travel, and her lifestyle. And now, here's the founder and creator of Not Basic Blonde, Olasha.
Hi, loves. Welcome back to another episode of Not Basic Blonde podcast. If you feel like you're discouraged or kind of feel defeated or overwhelmed from everything that you have to go through right now, or you just don't know how to move forward, this episode is very inspiring and it will guide you through and it will show you the path. So my guest today is Real Talk Kim. Kimberly Jones, known as Real Talk Kim, travels the world fulfilling her passion and purpose of loving people back to life. She's a mother, pastor, entrepreneur, best-selling author, entertainer, and most importantly, a worshiper after God's own heart. Kim is a pastor at Limitless Church in Fayetteville, Georgia. She's a human rights advocate with passion for giving back and believes in the compassion of Holy Spirit delivering it to those who need it the most. Pastor Kim is an advocate partner with Rock Paper Scissors Foundation, a nonprofit organization which exists to foster healing and give a voice to those who have been silenced from all the forms of abuse and human trafficking. Pastor Kim has been featured on Doctor's Oz Show, Oxygen Network Series, Preachers of Atlanta, Your World with Crawford Dollar on BET, ABC Nightlife, The World Network, CNN, Praise Park Atlanta, and numerous magazines and radio shows. She's truly living and walking testimony of God's redemption plan in action. So today in this episode, Kim will share with us her life advice, the best life advice, and entrepreneurship advice. We'll be talking about why is it so important to guard your heart and how can you do so we can serve more people. How do you free yourself from the pain of your past, the labels people put on you, and those moments when you feel stuck? Why do we lose the sight of who we are? And for women who are afraid to dream bigger, what is the best advice? For women who can't find their purpose, what's the best advice? For women that can't stop comparing themselves to others, what they should do? And for women who have trouble receiving abundance, what you should do? So many great advices, guys. Make sure to listen to the full episode. And if you haven't, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Hi, Kim. I'm so glad to have you on my podcast. How are you today?
I'm so wonderful. So honored to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. You have such an incredible background. You are so successful and so famous. Please tell us the story. How did you become a pastor? How did it start for you?
You know, I was 10 years ago, I was working at Bloomingdale's right down the street at Lenox Mall. And I had lost an 18-year marriage, was raised in a church, a pastor's home, just hit rock bottom. And I remember at about 37 years old, I decided to stop being mad at everybody but myself and allow myself to look inside of myself and see what was going on. And I just made up in my mind, I'm about to shift my trajectory. And so I went on a journey to find me. And got my attitude under control and got free of depression and anger and bitterness and people pleasing. I just was very intentional. And I started doing videos in my car talking about the process of healing. Because I was, girl, when I tell you, I was tore up from the floor up. I was bitter. I was raised in this religion that made women less than. And I just needed to heal in order to not keep repeating cycles. And so I started doing videos in my car, and those videos began to help me. And they also ended up helping the world. And before I knew it, I got millions of people following me. I wrote my first book at 42. I lost everything at 36. I couldn't even buy cheese with my credit. Like, I lost a $500,000 house. I lost all my cars. I'd moved back in with my mother and my father. And so I lost everything at 36, went to work at Bloomingdale's I made $13 an hour. And at 41, I did a video online and it went viral. And in that video, I was just talking about stop quitting and get up. Even when you don't know how to get up, get up. And that video went viral. And from there, I ended up writing a book at 42, and I was in special ed my whole life. I still don't know where commas go, but yet I just signed a major book deal with HarperCollins. It'll come out in August. So I've got 5 books with my special ed self. And now I pastor Limitless Church right here in Atlanta. And that's how I got successful. I quit quitting and I quit waiting for somebody else to do it for me. And I got busy working on my heart.
Wow, this is a tremendous success story. And you went through so many challenges. And it's so hard sometimes when you just... to switch your mindset and being, you know, from victim to the winner, and stop being upset at the world and take control of your own situation. But you're so brave and bold by doing this.
Yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard, but you got to do it, because giving up is not your option. You got to keep moving. Even when you don't know what to do, you got to just keep moving.
But you didn't know in which direction to move,
I just knew I didn't want to go backwards. You know, I just would stop and think about, I don't want to be working in cosmetics for the rest of my life. I don't want to be mad at the world for the rest of my life. I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. And I don't have any friends. I had these walls built up around me. I was scared of rejection. So I wouldn't let anybody into my heart. And I just started journaling every day. I would journal. What do I not want to take into my future? I'm about to be 40. I remember at 40, about 39 years old is when I started writing in a journal. And I'd be like, I don't want to do this going in my 40s. So I stopped a lot of bad habits. I was intentional. I let go of some friends that were sucking me dry, people that would push me to breakdowns instead of breakthroughs. I realized that I can do anything for 30 days. And so I started implementing rules for myself. I got good boundaries and goodbyes. I learned how the gift of goodbye was a blessing. And so I just realized I didn't want what I had. And in order to get something new, I had to let go of what I didn't want. I had to stop those cycles. And so every time I would feel a cycle coming on, I'd be like, nope, Kim, you ain't going back there. You're not going to handle situations like this. You ain't pitiful, girl. You're powerful. I would talk to myself. And so I didn't know where I was going, but I knew where I didn't want to be. And so I just got up and started going, and it worked. I would do it scared. I would do videos scared. I would start writing my book scared. I didn't know. I just knew that if I start the process, God will come in and help me do the rest.
Yes, sometimes the key is just starting, because if you don't, it's not going to move anything, and it's not going to happen. I mean, nothing will happen in your life.
Nope. And that is the process, because here's what I always say. The enemy cannot take you out, so he wears you out. And he does it in your mind. He starts telling you things like, you'll never get out of this. You'll always be broke. You'll never get a house again since you lost yours. Nobody's ever going to love you. You're so stupid. You were in special ed classes your whole life. You will hear these voices, and it's up to us to begin to look in the mirror and say, that ain't who you are. God didn't make no junk. God didn't quit. As long as you have a pulse, God has a plan. So as long as I ain't dead, God ain't done. But I got to move. Even if it feels like you're a turtle stuck in peanut butter, you got to move. You got to pull your leg and you got to move. And that's the way it is. You just start moving, even if you don't know where you're going.
How do you handle rejection? Because sometimes it breaks people completely and they don't want to try again. But I know, like you said earlier, don't quit. But still, for some people, it's so hard to put themselves together and start trying again.
You know, with rejection, I remember laying in my bed one night after my marriage had ended 18 years with my two sons' father. And I loved this man so much. And I just thought we'd spend the rest of our lives together. And unfortunately, addiction came in and just wreaked havoc in our marriage. And I remember I was laying in my bed one night and I was like, I can't believe that I wasn't worth him getting free. You know, and I was taking it personal, like it was my fault. And I remember laying in that bed and I was like, God, take this pain away from me. And I heard, because I'm a preacher's kid, we pray about everything, you know. And I remember that night, something in my spirit said, I can't take this pain away from you. You got to get up and walk away from it. And I realized that night that rejection is not necessarily someone wanting out of your life, but it's somebody that God needs out of your future. Rejection is God's protection. And so a lot of times the reason we can't handle rejection well is because we take it personal. Like they didn't like our five finger forehead, or we got thick thighs, or, you know, we weren't as good as this other person that they left us for. It wasn't that at all. It was the fact that the good father up in heaven that created you on the day you came out of your mama's body, the doctors heard, wah, but hell heard purpose, destiny, a game changer, a nation shifter. And so God knows who needs to be in your life and who doesn't. So when they reject you, rejection is merely God's protection. If they would have stayed in your life, their character couldn't keep up with your purpose, and they would have made a mess out of all you work for. And so when we realize that it's not personal, it's spiritual, it's easier to let go of rejection.
I see, because sometimes rejection does hurt and you're thinking, why did this happen? And like personally, what I went through, my family went through the war in Ukraine. They were affected by the war severely. And my grandma survived by the miracle. Mm-hmm. And that 6 weeks when I lost contact with them, I didn't know what happened to her. And I prayed the hardest. Like, I mean, I believe in God, but I didn't believe to that point. I didn't think the miracle will happen. Wow. And I prayed so hard, the hardest ever I prayed in my life. And my grandma survived. Her building got split in half, but her apartment was untouched. And she is bedridden. She couldn't move from there. So like she couldn't evacuate like other people were going to basements. And her apartment was untouched. And that's when God actually confirmed that miracle do happen.
I love that too, because that's what he does. You know, he is like, I think it's so cool because on social media, God's given me a platform with everybody. It ain't just church people. It's the world. And it's people like yourself that says, you know, you can't tell me God ain't real, because I just watched my grandma's apartment. Everything got demolished, but my grandma's apartment. That's how God does things. He works in miracles so that we can never, ever say there ain't a God. Right? And that's what's so beautiful, because when you're talking about it, you're lighting up. You're like lighting up like a light bulb because you experienced it firsthand. I love that.
Thank you. But honestly, like I never thought it will happen, because we thought it's over. Like we were praying for her peace, like, you know, rest in peace and all that, because like if you don't have any communication, and we saw the pictures, I got to see the pictures in chats of the house, and I thought, I guess it's over. And It wasn't her time.
Come on, man. I love that. It's almost like when I was coming out of my divorce, and I remember thinking, I don't even know what life could look like, right? And it's almost like looking back at pictures, like you just said, and having those wow moments of, man, I remember in that picture, when you look at your grandma, or when you look at that point of contact, you're reminded again where this situation took place, what your feelings were. But oh my gosh, I made it. And your grandma made it, and you made it, and I made it. And that's just how good God is. And I'm thankful for that. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful God did that for y'all.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And you also written an incredible book, which became bestseller, brings up your past, remind him of your future.
Yeah.
Tell us more about your book.
Well, I wanted to write a book about, this is where most of our problems are, right here in our minds, because this is the devil's playground. I always say it's the devil's battlefield. And we could be staring at something that is not that big, but we will be telling ourselves, oh my God, that mountain is so big. We're praying every night, God, remove this mountain, move this mountain, move this mountain. And God's over here saying, how about telling your mountain how big your God is? And so this whole book is talking about getting up again. Like, life is going to hit you. You're going to walk through some things where you feel like, man, your joints and your fingers ache because of the heartbreak or because of the devastation or the trauma that you're walking through. But if you can get in your mind that in Philippians 4:13, it says that God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, which means before you were ever even a thought in your mother's womb, God gave you the grace and the strength to make it. And so the only thing that if it's just one day at a time, allowing yourself to say, I don't know how I'm going to get this thing. I don't know how I'm going to get past this thing. But one thing I do know is I ain't going to lay in this bed today depressed. And that's what this book does. This book equips you. Shut hell up. It's reminding you every day of your life to tell yourself, because you are the CEO of your life. It ain't your daddy's job. It ain't your mama's job. It ain't your husband's job, your wife's job, your kid's job, or your therapist's job. It is your job to look in that mirror every day and encourage yourself in the Lord and realize that where I'm at is not where I'm staying, because my Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or think. 10 years ago, I'm making $13 an hour. Today, I can't even believe all that God did just in 10 years. Because I chose to get up. Nobody handed me anything. I chose to change this. And every day of my life, when this tries to get in the way, now I have like a 24-hour rule. Like if something happens devastating in my life, I'll be like, ooh, I'll cry for like 24 hours. I'll give myself 24 hours, eat some Haagen-Dazs, get you some pizza, cry, have a meltdown. But you got 24 hours. When you come out of that closet, you come out like a boss, right? You take back everything, because the enemy does not fight you because you're weak. The enemy is fighting you because you're strong. And if you realize that, you will get the capability to tell hell to shut up. Every time your worry and stress committee meets inside your head every day to say, you're a single mama, you are so tired, you can't do this, you tell that mentality, that voice in your head, sit down and shut up. I'm coming up out of this thing. This is part of my story. I always say this, everybody has a story, but yours will be a bestseller if you keep moving.
So true. It's like, you can listen to all the advice in the world, you can read all the books on how to do it, but you have to take an action. You're the only one person who has to do it.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've seen people go to the therapy for years and still a victim in their own story, because they can't wrap around their mind how they got here, and they can't allow themselves to understand that forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you. And when you learn to forgive, you learn how to move again. When you stop focusing on and stalking them on social media, right? You're stalking them on social media. You're talking to their loved ones. You're talking to their friends. And it's just making you madder and madder to see that they moved on and you're still hurting. No, you got to start paying attention to yourself and not allow yourself to live there. Don't allow yourself to overthink. Don't allow yourself to stay in a season and allow that season to define your lifetime. Realize that every storm runs out of rain, period. And so if you do that, you can tell hell to shut up and you can get up and it ain't over. I don't care if you're 58, 68. I don't care if you're watching this and you're 78 and you feel like you gave the best years of your life to somebody, 38 years of marriage, and then they walk in one day and say, I don't love you no more and I'm leaving. You can start over. And listen, we serve a God that will restore time. It ain't nothing wasted when we make up our mind to tell hell to shut up.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And it's so hard sometimes, but you have to get up and do it.
You do.
Why is it so important to guard your heart? And how can we do so it can serve more people?
You know, Proverbs 4:23 says to guard your heart because out of it flows the issues of life. And a lot of times when we read that scripture, we're thinking, and that it's, this is me, take it or leave it. You know, God said, and we block people on social media. We give people a piece of our mind. We clap back all because we got to guard our hearts. No, guarding your heart means to guard your heart from what they've done to you. Don't let what they've done to you get in you. You know, I have a 3-second rule, and my 3-second rule is when somebody says something to me that hurt me, hurt people. But heal people, right? So when someone hurts me or someone does something to me that makes me feel like, man, that sucked. Why would you say that? I have 3 seconds to hold on to whatever they said to me or reject it immediately. Like literally all of a sudden they said something, it hurt you. And you're like, no, I'm not going to let that in my spirit. You start thinking about the spaghetti and meatballs you're going to cook at 6 o'clock. You know, that's how you renew your mind. You get your thoughts off of whatever it is that's making you have a panic attack or an anxiety attack. See yourself on the beach in a chair with your feet in the sand. Just quit thinking about it. But it is so important for us to pay attention to our hearts, because we can leave a season. We can walk through a divorce. We can walk through a death. We can walk through a friend betraying us. And if we don't watch our hearts, then they will move on and we will still be bound by them. And so it's our job to make sure that when they're leaving, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, you don't know why it happened. Yeah, you want an apology. You probably won't get one, but you got to be okay with an apology you never get. You just got to realize that paying attention to your heart means I'm leaving this season, but I'm not going to let what you did to me get in me, and I'm not going to take it personal. I'm not taking it personal, because rejection is God's protection. Rejection is redirection. So paying attention to your heart means not allowing what they did to you to get inside of you. How do you do that? Here's what I hear all the time. That's easier said than done. As quickly as you said, it's easier said than done, all you got to do is go block them on social media. Instead of saying it's easy, because out of sight, out of mind. If you say it's easier said than done, you've done nothing to realize that you are a whole grown up. You're an adult and you have the capability to say, no, you're not. I'm not losing sleep over you another night. I'm not going to drink a bottle of wine for you another night. I'm not going to cry and spend all this money trying to drown my tears over you another night. This is your loss. And realize that every loss ain't a loss. A lot of times the ending is just the beginning. And so we allow our hearts to heal. So when we walk out of that season, we can see them in a grocery store and be like, I bet you miss me. Because your heart stays beautiful.
Why do you think such a bad things happen sometimes to nicest people? Like all of a sudden they get cancer or some kind of, like my grandma had stroke and she always was so giving and she always took care of everyone and us and like every neighbor, anyone she knows. Oh. And like now she's paralyzed and bedridden. And it's always, I mean, I have friends that have different stories too. And we always ask why is this happening to us? But sometimes, I mean, God gives us challenges and sometimes, I'm not sure, but like, I always ask this question, why is this happening?
You know, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where God gives us free will. It's just life. Like the Bible says that you're going to come and you're going to go. That's what the Bible says. I remember, I preach all over the world. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs. I've prayed over people and they got healed just like that. And my father, which I pastor the church he pastored here in Atlanta now, he was a pastor his whole life. And he was so selfless and gave his life for the church. And he got dementia. And I remember like having a hard time with that girl. I was like, I don't understand why you let these people that live in this world that are players and these mean people and these people that wreck homes and just no good. They're just out here sucking air. How would you let them live and won't heal my dad? And I had a problem. And I was like, I don't get this. Like I don't get this. And I remember when my dad was taking his last breath, because dementia is like the worst thing ever, because it's embarrassing. You know, my dad was this dignity, man of dignity. And now he's like this little boy that can't even go to the bathroom. And I remember the day he was taking his last breath and I was laying over him crying. And I said, I don't get it. I knew you were going to work a miracle. I don't understand. And I said these words, why didn't you just take my ex? Why couldn't you take my ex? Why you gotta take my daddy? And here's what I heard. Because your daddy is ready and your ex ain't. And immediately, you can't question it. You know, sometimes you've got to get a little box. I got a little, you know, this box right here. It's an imaginary box. And in that box is everything. God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I trust you. And so we got to understand that God gives us peace that surpasses all understanding when things happen. And so there are some things that you may never know the answer to. But listen, one thing we do know is that when bad things do happen, he's still our comforter. But that helped me so much that day, girl, because I realized that God still gives mean folk a chance to get it right. My dad was ready. And the cool thing about God is we get to spend eternity. We think this life is good, where we're going, where my daddy is. You know, your grandma's had a stroke and she's paralyzed, but she's here. You know, that just, we just never can question it. We just got to have peace to know that God is, he says in Romans 8:28, it says that God is working all things together for our good, you know? And so just thankfully, I don't know that we'll ever have an answer, but I do know that God is a just God and that he is a comforter and a friend. And I would rather have him as my comforter than not believe in him at all, you know?
Yeah. And how do you free yourself from the pain of your past, like the labels people put you on and the moments when you feel stuck?
How do you free yourself from the labels people put on you? You know, I remember I was in seventh grade, and from first grade to seventh grade, I was always put in a special class at my school because I couldn't remember phonics. I couldn't retain anything I read. And so they labeled me as special ed. And I remember in seventh grade, looking out the window and feeling my face and thinking, maybe I'm drooling and I don't know it. Maybe everybody in this class, we all think we're normal and we're not. And something clicked in me that day. And I realized that I am not who they say I am. I am who he says I am. And in seventh grade, I remember I went home and told my mother, I said, if you will put me in a public school and let me retest and put me in an average class, I will show you that I am not the labels they put on me. I did it. Did the labels go away? No. But here's the cool thing about the label they put on me. I became so educated in street smarts, in common sense, and I'm going to prove it that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that it almost gave me an extra push. I preached a sermon yesterday at Limitless Church, and all y'all can go to my YouTube channel, Real Talk Kim YouTube channel, and listen. And I talked about, there's a story in the Bible called Hannah and Peniah. And Panaya had all the kids and they were married to the same husband, because back in those days they had a lot of wives. And Hannah had everything going for her, but she was barren and couldn't have a child. And I was talking about how Panaya lived her life to harass Hannah. And she was like sandpaper to Hannah. And she was always making fun of Hannah. And she was always bullying Hannah. And Hannah finally one day had enough. And she took a licking and said, "Devil, you should have taken me out when you could have, because I'm coming up out of this thing." And the sermon was, all of those things that are oppositions in your life are really panayas. They are what is making you go for the gusto. They're making you realize that you are stronger than you think you are, that you can do it, that you can make it. And it makes you realize, when I was at my mom's and I had to start all over again at 36, I hit rock bottom. I had nothing left, but at the bottom was my panaya. It was that moment that said, if I don't want to stay in this, I got to get up and move. I got to change my thinking. I got to change my heart. And so that's what you have to do in the seasons where you feel like you ain't got no hope. You feel like you can't move. You feel devastated. You're eating your emotions. You're laying in bed. You got to every day of your life, because the Bible says that life and death are in the power of your words, not in mine. In her words, we're doing this podcast right now to encourage you, to tell you that as long as you ain't dead, God ain't done, and you got to get up. But at some point, you got to shift your trajectory, and you got to realize that the panayas in your life, the Goliaths in your life, are there to push you your breakthrough and not your breakdown. And when you realize that, oh, you're going to come out of this thing. Oh, you're going to change the world. There ain't nothing like a hell. When you go to hell, you come out on fire. And so you got it. If you just realize you got it, you ain't dying here.
Love it. That's the best advice.
Yeah.
Why do we lose the sight of who we are?
Because that's what the enemy does. The enemy wants us to get in some relationships that are toxic. The enemy doesn't want us to know who we are, because the devil was right beside God in heaven. And one day he got caught up in himself and began to think he was as good as God. He's the only fool that ever got kicked out of heaven and into hell. Now there's a whole hell for him and his little imps. They're quarantined in, right? So he's mad because he's not the apple of God's eye anymore. And we are. So he lives every day of his life with all of his little imps to try to discourage us to quit. And he knows that if he can get our confidence, if he can get us in some relationships that are narcissistic and tear us down and tell us every day what idiots we are, how we're not worth it, how we're dumb, how we're stupid, how nobody will ever love us. That's what he does. And he uses those people, the counterfeits, to change who we look at ourselves as. And once we do that, he knows that it takes us a minute to get back up again. Because unfortunately, we hear the loudest voices of the negative people in our lives more than we hear the good ones. We will allow 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 people that don't like us override the thousands of people that that don't even know us on social media that we're helping because we're walking through something and they're watching us make it through it. We ain't even realizing that just because those people don't love you don't mean there's a whole bunch of other people that do. And so we listen to the voices that are always critiquing us and tearing us down and allowing and provoking us to feel like we are not worth nothing. And then we've got social media. And on social media, everybody looks like they are making it like big time. And we're like, oh my gosh, she's the same age as me. She's written 5 books. I can't even write a book. Her husband looks like he stepped out of GQ. Mine looks like he stepped out of DQ. Her body is snatched. She just had a kid 2 weeks ago. My body, I'm still trying to get Jesse's love handles off of me and he's 12, you know? And so it's like the enemy's just roaming to and fro. It says in Acts that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does it right here again. And so we have to realize that God is not a God of chaos and confusion. And anything that causes us to feel confused or unloved or unvalidated, I mean, anything that takes the confidence out of us, we need to unfollow in real life. That means putting some people you got in your VIP section up in the balcony and telling them, watch me from a distance. I love you, but up there, because you ain't good for my spirit.
I was always questioning myself, why did I get myself into such a terrible relationships? And I was treated so badly there. And my self-esteem was always kind of breached and it was demolished, basically.
Yeah.
I'm glad you answered. Like, no, I got my answer.
You know what? I think it's just, I think we all have to encounter some relationships like that. You know, I think that one of the reasons you had to, and I can speak this into your life, one of the reasons that you had to encounter some of those relationships, because you have a whole podcast that is touching thousands of people. And you look like you would never, ever be treated badly. And if you would have not gotten treated badly or felt like you chose the wrong people, what are you going to even talk about? So what happens is, I believe that sometimes God gives us exactly what we want. We had some red flags. We had it, but we still jumped in and thought they could be Build-A-Bears. We'll make them a project. We'll change them, right? But now God is using that pain that you walk through to help thousands of people. So I believe you had to walk through it so that you would have something to talk about, so that you could encourage women all over the world. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. But just like I got up, you can get up and turn your pain into purpose.
So true. I love this. This is so inspiring.
Yeah.
What can you say for women who are afraid to dream bigger? What can you say, what they should do?
I think personally that you need to get you a mentor. I have a mentorship program called RTK Inner Circle. I pour into people. You can go to my website, realtalkkim.com. You need to get you a mentor, somebody that you look up to. You need to get somebody in your life that doesn't enable you to stay there talking bad about yourself. You need to get somebody in your life that, I say there's always a voice that God puts in your life that ignites a fire in you, that when you want to quit, they make you get up, right? So I think that when you don't know how to dream bigger, you got to get somebody in your life that can mentor you, speak into your life, can help you, right? Find your purpose or find that door that will help you move forward. That's doing what you want to do so that you can listen. Number two, you got to start a regimen in your life where even if you're a single mama, you got to get up earlier. You gotta make a plan. Habakkuk 1 says to write a vision and make it clear. You gotta write out your plan, because listen, you acting like, oh, I'm gonna do this tomorrow, and you don't write it down, you will never get to it. You gotta get up earlier than everybody in your house and start your day with God. Get in your prayer closet. If you ain't got no prayer closet, go in the bathroom and shut the door and spend some time, even if it's 5 minutes, where you just tell God, and look, for all of y'all that don't believe in God, try it. You ain't got nothing to lose. Just say, God, get in there and just be like, God, I want you to move in my life, and I give you permission to show me how. And then have your journal in there and write down the first things that come to your mind. That's God talking to you. He will give you direction, even when you don't know what to do. You're like, God, I don't know. Should I take this job promotion or not? The first thing that drops in your spirit is your answer. But we get in our heads, right? And so you need to get a coach, get a mentor. You got to spend the first 5-10 minutes of your day alone writing down your plans. And throughout the day, have you little post-it notes or have it in your phone, in your notes, affirmations that you tell yourself. I am an overcomer. I got this. I'm a boss. I'm the first millionaire in my family. I ain't scared of nothing. Failure is part of success. If I fall, I'll get up again, but I'll bounce right back, right? It's just reminding yourself. And so in order to dream bigger, you cannot keep doing, in order to go where you want to go, right? Is you got to realize that nothing that is big, which if you're watching this today, your destiny is massive, or you wouldn't be wasting your time on me on this podcast today, because I believe in divine appointments. But you got to realize that anything that you want, you're going to have to do it with your knees knocking. Because, man, when you are busting down generational curses, you're the first one in your family to finish college. You're the first woman in your family to be a millionaire. You go from making $13 an hour to being the first millionaire in your family. You're the first one to start a business. You dropped out of school and you want to write a book. You're going to have to do it with your knees knocking. And you're going to have to do it with nobody supporting you. But you got to support yourself. Just do it. Say, what do I got to lose? You ain't got nothing to lose. Do it with your knees knocking. Do it scared, but do it. And be committed. Consistency pays off.
I love it. And, you know, I'm the first woman kind of in my family to start my own business because my great-grandmas did, but not after. And I'm the kind of the first one. And my parents always told me, like, go to school, get an education, get a real job and all this. But I've done modeling since I was 13, so I didn't pursue my dreams back then, but I do it now. But
so what made you decide to do it? What made you decide to do what you're doing?
I guess God had a plan for me because in 2017, I finished my last contract. I've done IT project management for like 8 years before I started my own brand. And I've managed huge projects for like AT&T, Cricket, Verizon, Altel, like old telecom companies. And in 2017, I finished my project way before deadline, and I was rushing to finish it way before deadline. They all got bonuses, but not us. We lost our jobs, like my team and I. We got laid off because we finished it too early. And after that, I applied for over 3,000 jobs. I could not find a job. I had brilliant, I mean, I still have brilliant resume. I have so much experience. I had so many interviews, but I couldn't get hired. And I started my brand. And while I was sitting in my office, I was thinking about, I want to have a blog. I want to do modeling more. I want to get out of the office. I was thinking about that, but I didn't know where to start. And then I started my blog and I just started posting on Instagram every day, twice a day. And that's how it all started.
Man, you know how encouraging that is for people watching that you literally, here's what I heard when you were saying that. Sometimes God will close a door because he knows if he doesn't close the door, you will keep making yourself small. So he closes the door to push you into your destiny. And so you really had a choice. You could have gotten mad about it or you could do exactly what you did.
Oh, I was really upset. I was making six figures in my previous job. And then I had to start over and I put myself in debt while building my business. Then, of course, I paid it off. But
yes,
it was so hard. And I started from like beginning. I started over and I didn't know where to start. I Googled my way through. I had to learn new things every day. I still do. And it's not like somebody told me what to do and how it's supposed to be done. I had to find my ways myself. And then in 2019, everyone was complimenting me on my voice. They were like, you should start a podcast. I love your voice. I was like, okay. And then I started my podcast with my friend, but then she took different direction because she was busy with her life and her projects. So she couldn't keep up with the podcast. So I just proceeded by myself. And that's where I'm now today.
And look at you. Look at you crushing it.
That is such
a hope testimony for people out there, you know, that that you either can quit or get up.
But also I came to US when I was 17 with my mom. She was mail order bride and we only had $200 in two suitcases. And the first $200 we spent for groceries when we came to US. Yeah, my stepdad brought us here, but he didn't realize how much money it needs. Like, we need to live because when you come to a new country, you need a car, you don't know the language, you can't work right away because you don't have a green card. And it took us 9 months to get a green card. And I had to, like, learn English and I had to find friends. And the worst part was I moved to LaGrange. You know where LaGrange is?
Yes!
It's the worst. It's a small city. Like in Atlanta, you can find ways. There's way more opportunities,
but there's
nothing. And I had to find friends. I even managed to find friends that took me to school. They drove me to school so I can study and I can learn English. I finished GED there. Even I didn't have to because I had to get scholarship and to get like some, I think they were giving scholarship money as well to college. I did it and I finished it in 3 months. And then
man, girl.
I went to 2 year college and then I went to Georgia State after. So
you're a little go-getter.
Yeah.
You are definitely not a quitter.
Yeah.
Here's my next question. Did the mail order, are they still together?
Well, they were together for 8 years. They loved each other. It was a beautiful story. They met each other.
Really?
He came there twice, to Ukraine before, but he didn't tell us that he had 2 kids from 2 different wives and that he has a debt. So before he brought us, and we didn't know. And after he went, it was an army. So after Afghanistan deployment, he really had terrible PTSD. So he was in really bad shape and he wanted divorce. And before he went to Afghanistan, he wanted to get divorced because he was afraid if anything happens with him, my mom will get the money, like, you know, insurance money. But my mom didn't even want that. She wanted him to be safe and to get home. She didn't want him to go to army in the first place. But he decided to do that for benefits. At 40 years old, he went to army. He decided to switch careers. He worked for Coke, but then he said, I'm tired to do so. Quit the job, didn't work for 3 months. I had to support the whole family. And after, he went to army.
Oh my gosh. How's your mom doing today?
She got herself in the worst trouble because she got remarried to a Russian guy, which now is suing both of us because I bought a house for them and I put my mom on the title. I mean, my mom was a consigner, and then we added him on the title because my mom thought it was happy ever after. And so after now he's suing both of us, he wants the house.
No.
Yeah.
And look at you still laughing. You're still smiling because you know it's going to be all right.
Yeah. I mean, God will do everything in our favor.
Yes.
So if somebody goes against you and they're trying to break you, they're not going to succeed. So.
Nope. God, listen, I always say this, even when we can't see God working, he said he going to work all things together for our good. He going to get them. If you can't see it, he's still going to get them. Life going to happen to those people.
What would you say women who are afraid to receive abundance, what they should do?
For women that are afraid to receive abundance, you know, I think that a lot of times the reason we don't receive or accept because there's something in us that doesn't feel worthy. And I would, off of this podcast today, start a challenge with every one of you that just to level up your expectancy to every day of your life to realize that you deserve abundance. Here's what Ephesians 3:20 says. It says that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or think. And then another one of my favorite scriptures is Amos 9:13. It says, it won't be long now. God's decree said things are about to happen so fast that your head is about to spin, blessing upon blessing, you can't keep up. And so both of those scriptures right there tells me that it don't matter how you feel about yourself, God still wants you to live in abundance. And so remind yourself of that every day and then walk in it like you deserve it.
I love it. Thank you so much, Kim. It was such an incredible conversation and you shared so many great things. Where can I
listen to you?
Your social handles, all the information.
I am all over every social media platform as Real Talk Kim. You can find me on my website, realtalkkim.com. And all my books are on Amazon or realtalkkim.com. I also have a clothing line, rtkstyle.com.
Love it. Thank you so much for being
in my church. If y'all live in Atlanta, I pastor the biggest church in the world. It's Limitless Church. In 1653 Highway 85 South, Fayetteville, Georgia, 30215.
Wonderful. I'm so honored to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was nice meeting you this way.
Nice to meet you too.
Thank you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
That was all for today, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Not Basic Blonde podcast is available on all the major platforms with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. To support the show, tag NBB Podcast on your Instagram stories and check out more behind the scenes on Instagram as well at notbasicblonde_. or NBB Podcast. And if you haven't, subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde Podcast on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.